Morning, and greet each one in Jesus' name. Privileged to gather with you here this morning and bring you greetings from the Susquehanna Valley congregation. Welcome any of you at any time to worship with us as well. Message this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to be turning to different of the accounts of the gospel, or the gospels here. It's all parallel, similar verses I want to look at this morning. Matthew 16. And starting at verse 24, says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And then turn with me to Mark 8. Mark 8, and then starting at verse 34. It's Mark 8, 34. "And when he called the people unto him, his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And then Luke 9 yet. Turn there. Luke 9, I'm going to jump in at verse 23-27. Luke 9:23, "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, and his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there shall some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And I'll stop reading there. Message title this morning is Christian Discipleship. And that thought comes mainly out of the first verses of each of those passages I read there. Jesus addresses his disciples. There was also the account of Mark. There was also other people around. But Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, There was a call. There was Jesus said, if you're going to come after me," and then he gave some requirements. I'd like to look at those this morning here. So Christian discipleship, and we could look at simply discipleship, but I didn't want to use just that word because the world does not use that word discipleship. But let me give the definition of disciple. Disciple means a follower, an adherent to the doctrines of another. A disciple is someone who adheres completely to the teachings of another, making them his rule of life and conduct. So another word for disciple is follower. I believe in as a Christian, we need to go deeper than simply following Jesus. But the world does not use the term disciple, but it uses the word follower or following. I think most of us are familiar with that term, especially if you get into the social media realm. That's what it's talked about. No, they don't use the word disciple, but essentially, that's what they are. Well, that's what you are. You're the people they're following. They're simply a disciple of that. If you want to use that expression. So, in just going to use it again, the social media realm, and that influence that has. And there's what they call influencers on social media. And in order for them to be influential or popular, they need followers. And there's things they do to gain followers, put themselves out there. But Jesus did not do that. He was not out to make himself popular. But this morning, everyone follows something. I'm following something. You're following something to some degree or another. We either follow friends, popular culture, family, selfish desires, or God. This morning, the question is, who are you following? Who am I following? And you think of the word disciple, one of the definitions there is someone that adheres to the teachings of and making them, that's essentially your pattern of life, your conduct of life. This morning, who are you following and what is shaping your rule of life and conduct? This morning, if we're going to be Christian disciples, if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, if we're going to be a true disciple, there are requirements Jesus gave. And first one I'd like to bring out, as I mentioned, it was in Matthew and Mark and even Luke. Verse, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. So the first point I have here is if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, we need to deny himself and take up his cross. Somebody's there a little different, but yet they run. These two, in my mind, run very close, intertwined. So that's why I put them together. They're different phrases, but anyway, when we mention, when Jesus says this, let him deny himself, take up his cross, what was Jesus saying? What did he mean that? What does it mean for you this morning, for myself this morning, to deny myself and take up my cross? What does that mean? By nature, we are selfish individuals, self-centered. It everything revolves around me. It's about what I want. It's about my desires. It's about my comforts. That's, I'm going to say, by default, by nature, that's who we are. It's self-centered. It's what can I get out of it? But Jesus says, deny myself, deny himself. So another expression we use from these verses is the term self-denial. And that word, definition of self-denial is a restraint or limitation on one's desires or interests. So Jesus is calling us to simply restrain, limit our own selfish desires and interests. It's no longer about myself. And then the phrase, take up his cross. And the multitude, even Jesus' disciples, understood this expression because of them being under the Roman rule. And for those of us that are familiar with the Bible, at the time when Jesus was here on earth, Israel as a nation was under Romans' rule. And as we know, one of the ways Rome executed criminals was through crucifixion, which Jesus himself was crucified. They were, crucified on a cross. So when Jesus said this take up their cross, they had reference, they had context to what this meant. Because when a man was sentenced to die under Roman rule, he was that criminal was required, or rather forced, to carry his cross on which he would die. So the criminal, the man that was sentenced to die by crucifixion, you say maybe one of his last, more or less, punishments was to take up his cross and carry it to the place of execution. Rome did this as a way to show that he was that criminal was subject to their rule, and it was also a way to observe onlookers that they better submit to Roman rule as well. So no one carried their cross for fun, and if someone took up his cross, he never came back. And you'd say another, it was simply a one-way journey. So Jesus is calling you, calling me, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves. What Jesus is wanting from his followers, from his disciples, is to be in total submission and commitment to him. We may not die physically, but we must die to our carnal, to our selfish desires. This call for denying ourselves, taking up our cross, is, as Luke 9 mentions it, it puts the word in there, daily. This is something, a choice that you and I have to make each day. And the different of these passages start out in a similar way. If any man will come after me, There's a choice. If we're going to follow Jesus, if you choose to follow Jesus, if you're going to come after Jesus, then we're called to lay down ourselves and, yeah, deny ourselves and take up our cross. We give up of our selfish interests. And this morning it's a choice that only you can make for your own life. Nobody else's. It's the only choice I can make for my own life. So each day as we make choices, are you going to build your little earthly kingdom and what I want out of life? Or are we going to deny our selfishness, our self, for the greater good and follow Jesus, allow God to use us to build his kingdom, build his heavenly kingdom? The choice is only within the power of each individual. It's, as I mentioned, it's a choice you have to make, it's a choice I have to make. As I mentioned, by nature, by default, we're selfish. We're self-indulgent, or self-interest. The opposite of self-denial is that, self-indulgence or self-interest. And self-indulgence or self-interest invariably leads to corruption of oneself and others. Romans 8:13 says, "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So that word mortify would have the same idea of crucifying. Again, another verse, Colossians 3:5-7, "Mortify or crucify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them." So there again, if we allow our flesh, the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, if we allow that to rule, or if that's what we're following, that ultimately leads us to, leads us to being slaves of sin. It's when we allow the fleshly desires, the fleshly lusts, and we feed those, it's through which Satan accomplishes our ruin. Through following after the lust of the flesh, men have become slaves to every form of sin. And it's only through self-denial, through denying ourselves, putting our selfish desires on the cross, and asking God to help us, that we can crucify or mortify our deeds of the flesh. Galatians 5:24 says, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And then one more out of 1 Peter 4:1 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." So Christ himself came to earth, lived as a man, dwelt in the flesh, and he ultimately gave his life for each one of us. But yet he lived a sinless life. So as we follow Jesus, there again we say suffer in the flesh, similar to how Jesus did. No, not to the extent he did, but again, giving up of our flesh, our desires. But at the same point, this is a battle we are constantly involved in. Because the flesh and the spirit are enemies. They're enemies against each other. So there's this constant battle that we're also involved in between God, between what's right, and between Satan, the flesh, and the world. It's a battle, but yet we cannot follow both at the same time. Jesus, and again, there's teaching in the gospel, I don't have the verse exactly with me, but he mentioned that we cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve God and flesh. You cannot serve two masters. And we often, at least, we come across, at least I've come across it, this mindset or theory, teaching, whatever you want to call it, that it's a between me and God. Or I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but let me live my life. And I believe that's when you dig those theories apart, that's an attempt to serve both. It's an attempt to leave room for self instead of denying ourselves and bringing our own will into submission to God and the brotherhood. This morning, when we take up our cross and follow Jesus, we are taking our flesh or self-interest to the place of execution. We crucify the flesh and or put off the old man. Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 reference that, where we crucify the flesh, we put off the old man, and instead we put on a new man. This morning, I believe the secret of a victorious life is keeping every desire of the flesh in its God-given place. And then the second one Jesus gave, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'd like to look at that one here briefly as well. The call to follow me. Not only we deny ourselves and bring our will into submission to him, but we also follow him. To follow Christ means he has become everything to us, and we do not follow anything else. And again, I mentioned we're following something. But we can only truly follow one thing at a time. And the terms disciple, the terms Christian, I believe are related, but are not synonymous. So I believe we can say we're a Christian, but this morning, are you a disciple? Believe it's possible to be a follower of Jesus without being a disciple. We talk about Christian discipleship. Discipleship requires a totally committed life. And Luke 24 there, as I read, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. Are we giving our lives, totally committing our lives to Jesus? Are we losing our life for Christ's sake or to Christ? Turn with me to John 6 yet. John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 60. We'll start reading. It says, "And therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?' And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning of who they were that believed not, who should betray him. He said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, yet one of you is a devil? He spake of a Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. This is a little context prior to verse 60. Jesus was, again, teaching the disciples, or even the multitudes, if they're going to follow him, if they're going to be his disciples, simply laying out to what was expected of them. And he was talking about that he is the bread of life, the bread from heaven, and then verse 60, there's many of the disciples, many people that were following him heard what he said, and they said, this is a hard saying. And that word, that phrase, hard saying, describing Jesus' teachings means offensive or intolerable. And we see that in verse 61. Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured at, he said, doth this offend you? And maybe I'm drawing some wrong conclusions, but I think one of the reasons this offended people is Jesus simply, in a way, he just simply laid out the truth. This is what it means, and if you're gonna follow me, this is what it's gonna be. This is what you have to do. Jesus never softened the truth simply to gain followers. He spoke the truth. He didn't soften it because he knew there's people that were going to walk away and leave him. He didn't change the truth simply to keep them. Jesus spoke the truth. And the truth is that following him leads to difficult choices. And sometimes turning back may seem appealing. But I think one of the things why people turned away as it comes back to the first part of the other verses we looked at, if any man deny himself and take up his cross. They wanted to follow Jesus, but they didn't want, I didn't think they want to take those first steps of denying themselves and coming under submission to God and His Word. This morning, following Christ does not mean a trouble-free life. Too often we make a shallow commitment to follow Jesus and expect only blessings. And I think sometimes in John 6 here, the crowd, or the calls them disciples, I think they were following Jesus for the blessings. It seemed that way. They just wanted the good things. And they were not willing to, let me say, go farther, go deeper, of laying their own selfish interests, desires down. This morning, Jesus wants more than superficial lip service. He wants someone that's more than just simply says, "I'm a Christian." He wants real, true disciples. And real discipleship means real commitment. And following Jesus means striving to be like Him. As I mentioned in the beginning, there's in the social media world, people follow other people because they interest in it or they want to attempt to be like them. This morning, as a Christian, if we're following Jesus, we should be striving to be like our Master. The disciple of Jesus needs to be set apart from the world. We must put off self-centeredness and put on Christ-centeredness. It's no longer myself, but rather it's Christ that's in focus. To follow Christ means to make Jesus Lord of our lives. He's the one that's in control of my life. No longer my selfish desires. It's Jesus as Lord of my life. I believe following Jesus or being a true disciple of Jesus is to yield our life in obedience to God's Word. So if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to know what to do. And Jesus has laid that out in His Word for us. And Jesus, we have the Sermon on the Mount, and there's more, but Sermon on the Mount, you simply call the Christian's code of conduct or code of ethics. How do we relate to things in life, and how do we live our life? There's a lot of practical teaching, not just Sermon on the Mount, but even all Scripture. God has given for us for our good, for our benefit. Galatians 5:24 says, "They that are Christ have crucified..." Sorry, I read that wrong. James 1, that's the verse I wanted. James 1, verse 22. "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And then John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So maybe there's a little test we could run in our own life. Do you love the Word? Do you love the Bible? If so, then I believe you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will love the Word. And we're called to not simply hear the Word, but rather do it. Live it out in everyday life. Be obedient to it. So when we believe the fruit of our lives, the fruit that our lives produce gives evidence if we're a true disciple of Jesus. It gives evidence of who we're following, because we are following someone or something. And to follow Jesus means we apply the truths we have learned from his word and live as if Jesus is walking beside us. This morning, when we surrender our will to God and choose to follow Christ, he will give us the grace and strength to carry our cross and his spirit to guide and empower us to live a life of Christian discipleship. This morning, in closing, it costs something to be a disciple of Jesus, but it costs more to reject him. Let's kneel for prayer.